Well, we're joined with Zach and welcome everybody out. We're delighted for the presence of all. I invite you to get your Bibles and open to the book of Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. In Colossians 4 and verse 18, Paul says, "The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen." Well, first off is to notice that phrase, remember my bonds. That's what our lesson's going to center about, is that phrase. And really, you know, when you study the Bible, some verses, there's just a wealth of information that can be mined out, to be taken out and collected, and lessons to be learned. And that's one of these verses that we want to look at. And just a short phrase, a short exhortation, remember my bonds. Now, some translations will say chains or imprisonment, but if you define this word bonds, it means a band, that is, ligament, such as a ligament of the body, or shackle, or of a prisoner, figuratively, an impediment or disability, band, bond, chain, and string, the various ways that it's translated in the New Testament there. And Paul was incarcerated. He was under shackles. He was limited. He was a prisoner, as we've got some images there for us to be thinking about. But I want to notice in particular, figuratively, it could be used as an impediment or disability. We don't have a lot of people that get arrested for being a Christian today. Occasionally it will happen in some of the other countries, generally not in our country. We have freedom of speech. But we could relate and think of those who are bound, those who are in prison because of problems, health problems, infirmities, and things like that. And so I think we can gather some lessons there, even in that aspect. All right, but Paul says, remember my bonds. Now, the first thing we want to do is to look at that by noticing the first lesson, and that is, Paul was under arrest for what? Well, for simply being a Christian, for preaching the gospel, for teaching the word of the Lord. Paul was being persecuted for righteousness' sake. There in Colossians 4 and verse 3, he says, "Withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Because of his preaching of the gospel, he was in bonds. He was in shackles. He was incarcerated. He was in chains. Wow. Well, was he doing something wrong? If you're out robbing banks and the police officer puts handcuffs on you and takes you off to jail, well, we understand that. You had that coming. But what was Paul doing? Well, he's simply making known the gospel message, and it kind of irritated people and ultimately got him in trouble. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 12, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now, the persecutions that they suffered sometimes entail being hauled off to prison. That generally don't happen in our world today, in our society today, but we're still persecuted in other forms, maybe snide remarks. People sort of imprison you by not wanting to be around you and isolate you and ignore you and those types of things. Jesus in the Beatitudes, the last of the Beatitudes, he says there in verse 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And so we look at this text, and persecution comes as a result of doing what he talks about in those first Beatitudes, being poor in spirit and mourning and meekness and hungering thirst for righteousness, etc. It just sort of inevitably comes. And Paul was persecuted. In fact, he was under arrest. He was in shackles. He was in bonds. And Paul said, "Remember my bonds." Sometimes we are persecuted. Generally, we probably won't be arrested and hauled off to jail, up to the Rockcastle County Jail, but we'll be persecuted in other ways, more subtle ways, and lots of times verbally of the way people speak. Something else to be learned when Paul says, "Remember my bonds?" He is telling us that we ought to sympathize. In the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter there, in the first three verses, he says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." All right, so in the body, we're members one of another in the body of Christ. We have brotherly love, care one for another, and just like in the physical body, if the right hand gets hurt, well, the left hand is over here tending to it, and the legs are running to go get something to help take care of a body member that is hurt. Well, that's the imagery that in the body of Christ, if somebody was in bond, somebody was incarcerated for the gospel message, well, we ought to sympathize and feel for them as members in the one body. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26, "And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it." And then in Romans chapter 12, there in verse 15, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep." And so when Paul says, "Remember my bonds," and what he suffered, and the hardship, is have sympathy, have mercy, have pity, have compassion. And as we suggested, those who have impediments or disabilities due to infirmities or sicknesses or old age or housebound or whatever, well, we ought to sympathize. It's real easy for folks that sort of get out of the stream of things just to be forgotten. And Paul says, well, don't forget about people that are in prison. Maybe somebody's in prison in their house that they can't get out and be about as they once did. What Paul is trying to say when he says, "Remember our bond," is don't forget about those that are kind of out of the stream of things. Something else that is to be learned from the phrase, "Remember my bonds," and that is, we need to visit. And that word "visit" is an interesting term. It's a term that means to look upon and seek to relieve in whatever way that we might be able to. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus touches on this in verse 34. "Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand," that's the sheep, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was," what? "In prison, and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Or when did we see you as a stranger and took you in and naked and clothed you? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." So what's his point? Well, the point is that we need to remember and be mindful and compassionate toward those that are in prison, or those who might be in prison by their house and by infirmity, not able to be out and about, that we could kind of take a lesson to, an application of, to visit. To visit those in prison, but to visit those who are sick, those who are sort of imprisoned by their circumstance. And then in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul gives an example of a brother who was who actually did that. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, there in verse 16, it says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. And when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So here is Onesiphorus, who is commended because he wasn't ashamed of Paul's bonds, and he sought diligently. Oh, Rome, pretty big city. I mean, he could have given up pretty easy. I can't find him. Forget it. Well, let's just go back home. No. He sought diligently until he found him. He didn't give up because he wanted to come and to help Paul, because he was doing what Paul said, remember my bonds. And what Jesus said, that we ought to visit those that are in prison. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, it might be circumstances that we could not go visit, but at least we could do this, and that is pray. In Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open to us a door of utterance and to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So here we have an example that, well, at least we can pray. Maybe it's somebody that we know of, but we don't have the opportunity to go. But I tell you, we could always pray for them in seeking to try to relieve in some way, to do something in their behalf. Paul said, remember my bond. Just a very, very short little phrase. An exhortation, an admonition, but rich in meaning. Because when he says, remember our bonds, that sometimes persecutions come. When he says, remember our bonds, he's saying we ought to sympathize. When he says, remember my bonds, we ought to seek and look for opportunities to visit, to relieve. And maybe we suggest something else when we talk about remember my bonds. We ought not to be ashamed of bonds. I mean, if we see somebody wearing handcuffs, right? You know, I've been various places. You might be at a mall somewhere, or you could be at an airport, or you could be just in downtown Mount Vernon, and all of a sudden you see somebody with handcuffs, and they're behind their back, and there's police officers standing around. You think, well, boy, I guess they're in trouble for some reason. And you would kind of want to generally be ashamed, because most people that get arrested like that, there's a good chance they've done something bad and done something wrong. But Paul says, don't be ashamed of my bonds. There's nothing to be ashamed about, because he wasn't being arrested. He wasn't in jail because he was a criminal. He wasn't out stealing and robbing banks and murdering people and burning people's houses down. He wasn't doing anything like that. He was just simply preaching the gospel.
There in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8 he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And as we saw there in verse 16 about Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. And Jesus says in Mark the 8th chapter, in Mark chapter 8 and in verse 38, John answered him saying, Master, I'm in chapter 9, I'm sorry. Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, it says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. So Jesus said, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed if somebody's in trouble for simply preaching the gospel. Don't be ashamed if somebody's being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Peter touched on that in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On your part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf, or on this behalf. So, if we are guilty of being a murderer, a busybody, etc., and we suffer for that, well, we ought to be ashamed of that, for ill behavior. But if simply being a Christian, don't be ashamed, we are told, in this text for those who hold to the cause of Christ, to those who hold to the truth of Jesus Christ. And then may we also suggest that we ought not to be ashamed, or that we ought to remember our bond. That is, don't feel useless. It's possible as Paul was incarcerated, as Paul was in prison, as Paul was wearing shackles, as Paul was wearing these bands, as Paul was under house arrest, he could have felt, I can't go out and preach like I have been, and he could have just felt useless. Like somehow all his opportunities were being taken away. And yet he didn't feel useless. He writes in the book of Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, notice there, in verses 12 through 14, he says, "But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bond," or chains, or incarcerment, or imprisonment, "so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. And many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So Paul didn't feel useless. He's back. He says, actually some good things come from me being in prison. Some good things come from me being incarcerated. He talks about in chapter 4, and down there in verse 22, he says, "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." It gave him opportunities. Times where Paul was in prison, times where Paul was incarcerated, times where Paul was under arrest, he could have thought, this is bad, and he could just wrung his hands, I just feel useless now. But no, he looked at some things and some opportunities that came. I mean, it's just like there in Acts chapter 16. He's there in the city of Philippi, he's preaching the gospel, he's teaching and working miracles, and it causes some individuals to raise persecution, and he gets thrown in prison, and he's beaten with stripes. And what happens? Well, there's a great earthquake, and the keeper of the prison, he's about ready to kill himself, and Paul says, "Do yourself no harm." And he comes trembling in and falling down before Paul and Silas and saying, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they speak unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took him the same hour of the night and washed his stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Well, I suppose he'd never been arrested. He may have never had that chance to teach the gospel to the Philippian jailer. And not only to the jailer, but to his household, and they all obey the gospel. You see, when we are incarcerated or we are impeded by physical problems or health, we don't have to feel like we're useless, there's nothing else we can do in the cause of Christ. No, there can still be opportunities to do good and to reach out and help and to encourage people in the right thing and the good thing. Paul says, "Remember my bonds." Something else that we can learn from this phrase, "Remember my bonds," don't let it mar your happiness. Paul could have sat there with a Roman soldier by his side. He could have sat there with shackles on his feet. He could have sat there with shackles on his hands. He could have sat there and just been down in the mouth and just all upset and just, he could just have been just... He wasn't. It didn't mar his happiness. He joined in fellowship of the suffering of the saints, of the sufferings of Christ. There in Philippians chapter 4, he says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Rejoice in the Lord, how often? Sometimes, a little bit of the time, most of the time. No, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he drops on down there in verse 11. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul did not let. He did not let these chains, he did not let this imprisonment, he did not let this incarceration mar his happiness. Sometimes problems come our way and we're just all down in the mouth and we're just all been out of shape. And just there's no happiness in our mind any way, shape, or form. But Paul, he did not let these bonds, he did not let this imprisonment take away his happiness. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter there, in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, he says, let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And so we can be happy even when troubles and storms blow around, and just like Paul was in prison, just like Paul was in shackles, it didn't change his happiness. You remember what they were doing there at Philippi, that they prayed and what? Sang praises to God. Paul said, remember my bonds. Remember my bonds. Sometimes persecutions come. Remember my bonds. We ought to sympathize. Remember my bonds. We need to visit when we have opportunity. Remember my bonds. Don't be ashamed of the gospel and persecution that comes as a result of the gospel. Remember my bonds. Don't feel useless as if, well, now you can absolutely do nothing. He still looked for opportunities to do good. Remember my bonds. He didn't let it mar his happiness. He would write, even while he was in jail, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And one more lesson. Remember my bonds. It did not lessen his reward in any way. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and down there in verse 12, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12, he says, for if there be first a willing man is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now, contextually, he's talking about the ability and the matter of giving and opportunity and all that is based upon what we have. But you know, he could have been down in the mouth and that somehow, you know, I can't go out preaching and preaching journeys like I have before and, well, you know, it's going to be bad for me. No. You see, the Lord's going to, he's going to judge us based upon faithfulness. Not quantity, but faithfulness. What we are able to do, what we have the opportunity, what we have the ability, that equals responsibility. Paul was incarcerated, so he still had the ability, but some of the opportunity was taken away, but he was still faithful to what he could do. It didn't lessen his reward.
And then that text there in the book of Mark, chapter 11 there, those last, or chapter 12, those last four verses. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites. That is, they were the smallest of the coins of the New Testament times. She cast in these two mites, which made a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more, not numerically more, but sacrificially more. She has cast in more than all they which cast into the treasury. For they all did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. You see, she just did what she could. That's all we can do. We can just do what we can. We can do no more. And if we have limitations, so what? We have limitations, but let's just do what we can
And Paul says, you remember my bonds, even though now he's not going to be out preaching and going on these journeys and preaching the gospel from city to city, from place to place, while he was incarcerated. It didn't stop him, and it didn't lessen his reward, because now he doesn't have those opportunities. We just do what we can. So lots of good lessons to be learned from that exhortation, remember my bond. We extend the invitation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The plan of salvation is revealed in the Scriptures for those who need to respond to the invitation. There are five distinct steps in becoming a Christian. The first step is to hear the gospel of Christ. Many of the Corinthians hear and believe and were baptized. Upon hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, will you believe in the Son of God that He is the Messiah? Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you be willing to repent, turn to God, turning from sin, turning to God? It involves both those things. Luke 24 verse 47. Would you be willing to confess Jesus before men, just like the eunuch did when he confessed with his mouth, acknowledging, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then the final step in becoming a Christian is to be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 2, excuse me, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so when we obey God's plan of salvation, that's when we become a Christian. Then we come out of that watery grave, be faithful unto that, grow in God's grace and knowledge, and just keep serving the Lord as we go along life's journey. And then, if as a Christian we err from the faith, we need to repent and pray God for forgiveness. Acts 8, verse 22. And if there's any that need to respond to heaven's invitation by becoming a Christian or by getting back right with God, we can help you to that end. And it's your desire to obey, come and let us know. We'll be glad to assist you while together as we're standing, as we're singing.